This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Sean Wade, our special guest today with Plains Cotton Growers. First, let's look crops and drought coverage. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
Across the Deep South, only 8% of the U.S. cotton production area currently experiencing drought. That is down from a peak during harvest last year of about 50%. So really good news there as we see most of Texas and then all of the Delta and Southeast is effectively drought-free. That, of course, extends to the desert Southwest and California as well. We'll take a look at the spring wheat production area across the north. Currently, just 25% of the spring wheat production area in drought. That is down from a late summer peak last year of 59%. So you can see the trend there just for most major crops has been on a nice downward trend over the last several months.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Sean Wade. Sean is Director of Policy Analysis and Research with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you this rainy little afternoon, Tony.
Well, you mentioned rain. There's, I guess, been moisture falling across a good portion of the southern high plains.
Yeah, we've actually seen, you know, some pretty good showers starting late, early this morning, late last night, and yesterday evening, across a lot of the area, you know, quite a few areas of the high plains are, you know, probably getting to around an inch to an inch and a quarter of total moisture. Certainly would like to see some of this activity spread a little bit further south, south of Lubbock. But we do have, you know, continued chances for rain throughout the day today and then slightly less chances tomorrow, but still a nice forecast for us as we're kind of trying to get ready to, you know, get this crop prepared and get the land prepared for planting the 2024 cotton crop.
Now, it's quite a difference from the weekend and late last week when you had high winds blowing through the area and quite a bit of topsoil flying as well. How important is this moisture for growing that 2024 crop?
Well, I think it's really critical. You know, certainly depending on who you talk to, most folks would probably have agreed that we are in a better moisture situation right now leading up to this event than we were last year, kind of at the same time period. But still, high winds, a couple of really strong wind events, and it doesn't take much to dry out that top part of the soil. So this rainfall will certainly help producers complete hopefully the last of those field activities that they need to get done prior to, you know, getting ready to put out their initial pre-plant herbicide applications and then get seed put into the ground. I know lots of growers have been out preparing the soil, you know, breaking some ground, maybe listing up some rows. But also putting out fertilizer and some other crop inputs that they needed to kind of get into place prior to planting. So this rain will certainly help solidify a lot of those activities that have been performed up to this point. And hopefully with the rainfall totals that we're seeing, allow us to kind of put a little of that moisture further down into the soil profile. And really kind of hopefully get us ready for a nice planting season and give us a little bit of the fuel in the tank, so to speak, to kind of get this crop off to a good start.
Well, and speaking of that planting, there's still some who are wondering whether or not we'll see more acres of cotton than USDA projected at the end of March in their prospective plantings report we had earlier this year. The National Cotton Council's survey results. Now we have USDA's number. And some of those acres from 2023, just total number of acres, is down for all crops. And so it has some wondering whether or not some of those acres are in Texas and whether they could go to cotton. Are you hearing that as well?
Well, I mean, I think there's always the chance of that. And there's a good chance that some of those acres are in Texas. There may be a fair number of acres where producers really just don't know the answer to, you know, that question, you know, what direction are they going to go? If they're in an area where, you know, maybe corn and soybeans is an option, there's still some indecision. I probably, in that regard, just because of where those prices for those two competing crops have been. Cotton, on the other hand, you know, has held pretty steady, but still we've seen some declines in old crop prices here the last few weeks as we kind of head into that May notice period. So, you know, I think there's still just going to be a lot of decisions that are going to be made right at the end of the right before they get to the starting line, and growers are just going to be pretty nimble. You know, as far as where are some of these acres. You know, I think with the improved moisture situation that we have out here in the High Plains area, you know, we might actually see a little bit of some of this wheat ground that was planted to cover back at the end of, you know, September, October, when we had a little bit of that moisture to plant into. We could actually see some of that wheat going to harvest, and then, you know, maybe have that ground fallowed, rested for the remainder of the season. So I think there's a lot of indecision still out there, but most of the folks that we talk to, at least in terms of the High Plains of Texas, would still expect to see our plantings pretty close to, you know, our long-term average, which would be, you know, in that 3.5 to 3.7 million acre range. And so that's certainly what we're counting on. And then with some improved moisture conditions and growing conditions, hopefully be able to you know, maybe get a good crop going and produce a nice crop here on the High Plains in 2024.
Okay. Now, many of the decisions have already been made. Field work is, preparation is in full swing. So many producers, if they're growing cotton, have already decided what varieties they'll be sticking in the ground. But always a good reminder that every year, PCG updates the seed cost calculator. What is that and how do producers use it?
Yeah, so our seed cost calculator is actually an Excel spreadsheet. It's a tool that we try to put together and release early in the year around January to give producers an outlook and a way to kind of compare the cost of different varieties at various seeding rates and plant populations to kind of give them an idea of kind of what the cost side of that seed decision is going to look like. As you say, most growers, you know, have probably already come to a pretty firm decision on, you know, maybe what varieties they're going to go with this year, but there may still be some decisions to be made, and that calculator is still available on the Plains Cotton Growers website under our resources page, and it's just a nice little downloadable tool, like I said, that growers can use to compare you know, what the cost of different seeding rates, different varieties, and different combinations of those things may bring to them when they're kind of making those plans for planting the new crop.
Okay. In the past, there's been some assistance to producers during tough times, and the name of the program has changed over the past few years, but today we know it as ERP, Emergency Relief Program. The 2023, if I remember, 2023 ERP program had quite a few in ag scratching their head, wondering how USDA was implementing that. And now a response from producers. Is that a fair assessment of where we are?
Well, I think so. And I believe you were referring to the 2022 ERP program that was announced basically towards the end of 2023. And, you know, there was a lot of concern about the procedures that USDA determined that they would implement that program through with, you know, how payments were designated, how different payments were factored, and which, you know, different groups and how different groups are treated. And so that concern certainly has been percolating over the last few months. And as you say, we now do have somewhat of a response with the filing of a lawsuit on behalf of some Texas growers being represented by the Southeastern Legal Foundation. Basically, have filed a lawsuit challenging the some of those decisions and how different groups are treated within that 2022 program. That suit was filed on March the 29th in the Federal District Court, I believe, up in Amarillo. And so now we're kind of just waiting to see how the court will respond to those suits and to that claim, and also to see if they will act on a motion that was also filed shortly thereafter for injunctive relief that would, you know, essentially kind of ask USDA or cause the USDA to maybe halt implementation of that program, and then find a remedy to the concerns that were raised by the growers named in the lawsuit. So a pretty important topic, certainly one that a lot of folks, I think, are going to have a lot of interest in watching as it develops over the coming weeks and months, and kind of see how that proceeds. And I think one of the longer term benefits, if we're successful in that suit, would be, really, I think maybe laying a much better groundwork for how these ad hoc disaster programs and other types of programs are created, developed, and then implemented and delivered by USDA to ensure that producers are treated fair and equitably across the whole spectrum of producers. So pretty important, and we're just looking forward to seeing that information as it develops, and like I said, to see how the process plays out.
Sean, if we want to keep up with Plains Cotton Growers, how do we do it? Can we do it online?
Can. We have a very nice website, www.plainscotton.org, that you can find a lot of good information, including, downloads such as, loan charts, that seed cost calculator. We try to, keep some current events up on our calendar there to apprise folks of meetings and things that are going on in the area. But then I think if you want a little bit more of a personal touch, we do have an email service that growers and anyone interested can subscribe to and get some PCG news directly to their email mailbox. So, we'd encourage folks to kind of go to our website, dig around in there and see what they can find, and let us know if there's something that they'd like to see added to that as well.
Again, the website, plainscotton.org. Sean Wade, Director of Policy Analysis and Research with Plains Cotton Growers, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Tired of paying for expensive and inefficient fertilizer? Then you need to source it. Source from Sound Agriculture optimizes the nutrients supplied by the microbes in your soil, providing 25 pounds of nitrogen and 25 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and unlocks tied up phosphorus and other micronutrients. Source is a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season. Unlock your crop's potential and increase your ROI with Source. Find your local dealer at sound.ag.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Sean Wade with Plains Cotton Growers.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this summer? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have a tree and post puller that will handle trees up to 3 inches in diameter. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-548-7167 or visit westtexasattachments.com to get the skid steer attachments to make your job easier.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online at plainscotton.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Tired of paying for expensive and inefficient fertilizer? Then you need to source it. Source from Sound Agriculture optimizes the nutrients supplied by the microbes in your soil, providing 25 pounds of nitrogen and 25 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and unlocks tied up phosphorus and other micronutrients. Source is a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season. Unlock your crop's potential and increase your ROI with Source. Find your local dealer at sound.ag.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Total drought coverage continues to shrink across the country. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey with the latest.
Looking at the five-week period ending April 2nd, we have seen drought coverage across the continental United States falling to just over 18%. And that is down 3.5 percentage points over the last 5 weeks since February 27th.
Yet more significant.
That takes us to our lowest drought coverage in almost 4 years. You have to go back all the way to May 12th of 2020 to find a lower drought coverage in the lower 48 states.
Rippey notes a similar story regarding the two highest drought categories, D3 and D4, nationwide, but adds there are still pockets within the country of extreme and exceptional drought.
Most of that is focused in just three areas, Southern Rockies into parts of the Southern High Plains, the Upper Midwest, and then across the Northern Rockies.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.